Well, in this country alone, we've planted nearly 40 million acres in turf grass. In the process, we've lost a lot, such as native plants that bring wildlife beauty and function to our yards and green spaces. Native plants, meaning those that have been part of the 8,000-year ecosystem that existed where Kansas City now stands, are essential for butterflies, birds, pollinators, and a variety of other wildlife. Joining us this morning to talk about a new program that's taking dead aim at promoting native plants for this area are Mary Nemesek. She's the conservation chair for Burroughs Audubon, a member of the Kansas City Native Plant Initiative and editor of that group's Pollinator. Mary, nice to have you. Good morning.
Thank you. Welcome.
I'm getting mixed up in all these different people in front of me. Kathy Gates is of the Westport Garden Club. She's a volunteer project coordinator for the initiative. And Kathy, nice to have you.
Thank you.
Christina Hoxie is also here. She's with BNIM. She's an urban strategist and project facilitator. And Christina, nice to have you.
Thanks.
Well, Kathy Gates, this organization that's pushing this idea is the Kansas City Native Plant Initiative, as I said. How did it get started and how long has it been around?
Well, in 2014, the Westport Garden Club, which is a 66-year-old organization, mm-hmm. a member club of the Garden Club of America, had a member program with Doug Ladd, who's a scientist for the Nature Conservancy, and it was very inspiring to us. The topic was the prairie, the unique and endangered ecosystem, the most unique and endangered ecosystem on Earth. And beyond being inspired, we really felt it was a call to action. So we partnered with Powell Gardens and had some speakers come to Kansas City. In the process of getting attendees to come, we developed quite a list of people who are influential in landscapes in the area.
Well, so Mary, what are you hoping to do? What's the objective here going forward?
We'd really like to bring native plants back to the landscape of Kansas City and make mm-hmm. them an integral part of our community.
And what does that mean? Does that mean in our front yards or does it mean something else?
Absolutely. Anywhere you put something that grows, native plants offer you a variety of benefit from ecosystem services to attracting wildlife.
And Christina, that sounds good, but you know, a lot of people think, hey, you're putting weeds in our front yards. It looks funny. What about that?
Well, I think that goes back to this kind of cultural and transformative shift in our the way that we look at our landscapes and how they impact our health and our environment and our communities.
But you're taking a big bite of the apple here. You want to begin to transform the way we think about this kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Kathy Gates, that's a big challenge. You like big challenges.
I do.
Yeah.
Well, it's a new aesthetic, and it's a reconnecting people to nature and the natural capital that is so important. You mentioned wildlife. Native plants are important for our lives. Mm-hmm. If the plants go, so do the species, and we are one of the species.
How are we doing, Mary, when it comes to the butterflies these days? We've heard so many tough stories. What's going on there?
Well, generally when people talk about that, they refer to the monarch. It's kind of the iconic species. The overwintering count just came out last week in Mexico, and there was a significant improvement. It was up to four hectares, which is a 255% increase over last year.
Wow.
There was a winter storm that hit the overwintering grounds last Thursday, and so we're still waiting to see what kind of impact that had on the colony.
But this, the impact of native grasses on the monarchs would be what in your estimation?
Well, so you want to plant native plants that, A, host the caterpillars, which in this case with a monarch it would be milkweed. But all of the natives have species that are dependent upon them.
Mm-hmm.
Most caterpillars will only feed on one plant or one family of plants. So you put milkweed in your yard, you'll attract monarchs if you provide some nectar plants for the adults to feed on and then the milkweed for the caterpillars to feed on. And all of a sudden you've got this vibrant life that shows up that you didn't have before.
That's interesting. Let me get our listeners involved here. Would you swap your front lawn turf for native grasses and plants? What do you think? 816-235-2888 is our phone number here, or you can tweet us at KCUR up to date. Christina, you know, I get the impression, I'm basing this on nothing but just my own life and talking to people, that maybe people are more open to this idea than they've been in a very, very long time.
Well, I think you're right, and I think we're starting to see that even in just the last year of the work of this organization. Both Kathy and Mary have been getting calls every day from organizations and people across the city, across the region, who are saying, how do we do this? How do we get involved?
Mm-hmm.
And even in our office, too, there's friends and family members who are saying, hey, I've got a fire in my belly for this. I've got access to an acre of land. What do I do to make that a more healthy ecosystem?
Kathy Gates, what can people do if they want to dip their toe in the water here? What's a good way to start? What's a good way to begin thinking about all this kind of thing?
Well, I think first of all, you need to go to your local garden center and ask for native plants.
Mm-hmm.
We need to increase people asking for native plants because they are at the foundation of a healthy area.
Are they available if you show up somewhere?
Yes, I think some of the garden centers do have good supplies. Soil Service is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's some books that you can read. Bringing Nature Home by Doug Tallamy.
You brought some
is
with
a
you
great
here.
Example of a book that tells you why it's important to have native plants. Roy Diblick has written a book called The No Maintenance Perennial Garden, and that's No KNOW.
Mm-hmm.
So you can look at books. There will be Monarch workshops in municipalities this spring that people can attend, and they can learn about how to plant a native garden, and actually they will be given plants. Bridging the Gap is our partner that's conducting those, and that's a great way to get involved. And Loose Park will have a display garden starting this spring.
So people can go check it out.
They
and
can
see,
check
see
it out and see
about
what they like. And it doesn't have to look ratty. It doesn't have to look like a field that is unkempt. They're beautiful native plants that have been used in municipal settings such as Chicago and New York with great enthusiasm. And they're beautiful all year round, not just in the summer.
Where at Loose Park is the garden going
it
to be?
It will be right in front of the Garden Center Association.
Okay.
And that's a partnership between Powell Gardens. They designed it. The Kansas City Park Department, they will install it along with the Westport Garden Club members,
mm-hmm.
who will both install and maintain.
You know, Mary, Kathy just mentioned something interesting in one of the titles of the books, and that's this idea of no maintenance or little maintenance. You read about this this kind of native plant, and what you hear is it is less maintenance, it's easier to take care of, and it's cheaper too. That might those things all might resonate with some of our listeners out there.
Absolutely. So like any plant, it takes some work to get it installed and get it going. And then annually you have to do something like cut it back, or if it's a large field, municipalities often burn it. But not only does it provide things like you won't have to water in the drought of the summer, but it does things like it helps runoff. So native plants, 80% of their biomass is below ground, and that'll help take water out of our sewer systems and our streams and filter it, along with filtering the air and other things that it does.
So a lot of times you don't have to water anything.
You know, native plants have been here for 8,000 years. They're used to hot, dry summers, and you put the right plant in the right spot, and it will work for you.
And it doesn't have to look ratty, you're saying, Kathy?
No,
you can do it in a way that people, yeah.
Well, if you've ever been to New York to the High Line or to Lurie Garden in Chicago, those are beautiful gardens right in the center of the city, and it doesn't look like you're in a prairie.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to some phone calls at 816-235-2888. Stephanie from Overland Park, good morning.
Good morning. I was just calling. We live in a neighborhood and we have an HOA, and that could be a potential issue with a lot of people that want to participate in this movement.
You're talking about homeowners associations, right?
Yes, they mm-hmm. will not allow you to have yards that are not in a particular keeping. But if you get 2/3 majority vote within a neighborhood to change that can override that. And a few years ago, we put in a patio on our back on the back of our house, and it had a rock wall to kind of keep it up because it was not even. And I went to a location in, I think it's Grandview, called Crit Site, and I didn't want to irrigate that area. So there was just kind of a little patch of dirt between the patio and where the rock wall started, and I wanted to put some landscaping in there. And going to Crit Site, they provided me with some options for some flowering native plants, and they just thrive, and they're beautiful, and they flower, and you don't have to irrigate that area. So there are some benefits to areas that you may not want to irrigate in your, I think you were just speaking to this, that you don't want to irrigate because that, you know, cost money to irrigate and to
right.
put the irrigation system in. But it was just lovely, and we enjoy it during the summer, all of the pretty flowers and the wildlife that come to visit it.
So. Oh, I'm really glad you mentioned all that. Christina, to what extent are homeowners associations going to be a challenge for the work that you guys want to do?
Well, I think that part of the work that we do is involved in changing policy,
mm-hmm.
too, and in larger spread education throughout all the different types of organizations,
yeah.
because part of the idea of this organization is that it provides an educational framework and a way for all of the organizations dealing with these issues to come together. These are environmental issues, these are social issues, these are economic issues.
And education is at the root of everything you guys want to do here, and you need to do to spread the word here.
Absolutely.
Have you gotten past any homeowners associations yet? You've met with anyone who sort of said, okay, we'll walk with you down this path?
We have not. We're still early on in the stages. We meet with a lot of garden clubs and people that are looking to change things in their own areas, but KCNPI interaction with homeowners has not. Homeowners associations hasn't happened yet.
Let's go to Jonas from Overland Park. Jonas, you're on UpToDate. Welcome.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Well, thank you.
Hey, I started doing this in my yard about 8 or 9 years ago in North Overland Park, and it took a lot of work to, like, get the seed to take, especially the Kansas Big Four, the native grass. It's when you start from seed, it takes a lot of work. And I had some trouble with some of my neighbors and ended up having to go to the city and go through a hearing and that kind of thing. But really, in the long run, I think that the cities are easier than neighborhood associations to do this with, because most cities are really seeing the benefit of this. And I think it's great. I love it. And we have more birds all year round than ever, just because of all the natural grass areas in our front and backyards. And just like they're saying, it absorbs rainwater. It's beautiful. It looks different through the four seasons because it's tall grass and it does different things. And I really just encourage people to do it and advocate for it, because the cities are getting on board with this.
Right.
Kay Barnes started this kind of thing 20 years ago, you know, with Jonas, the 10,000 rain gardens.
Hang on a second. What's the challenge with getting these things started? I would have thought they would take very quickly.
The native plants?
Mary. Yeah.
So,
well, like any kind of gardening, it takes work to get some plants to establish themselves.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah, Mary.
Well, native plant seeds need to go through a cold moist stratification process, because they're used to being on a prairie. They drop off the plant in the fall, go through the winter where they freeze and thaw, and that cracks that really thick coating on them. So getting starting anything from seed is more difficult than buying a live plant. But sometimes the seed goes down too late. Sometimes we didn't get a winter that was severe enough to fully activate that seed. So there's a variety of problems. Sometimes it's in the wrong spot. It's too moist or too dry. Just like there's plants for wetlands, there's plants for prairies and other ecosystems. You can have multiple ecosystems within a yard.
How's climate change going to affect all this? We're going through different zones. The horticultural people tell us here on the show. And how's that going to change things?
Well, it'll be interesting to see. I know Alan Brandhagen at Powell Gardens is looking at that. I think as we go through climate change, I think native plants are a good solution. A lot of these species are prevalent to the south of us. So as their zones move up, these plants will still continue to thrive. Some of them prevalent here north, you know, we may lose some of those over time. But
right. We go to Imani from Kansas City, Missouri. Good morning. Imani?
Yes, hi.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I have a nonprofit that is a STEM program, and we are taking up the challenge of planting monarch butterfly habitat gardens in the public schools.
Wow.
We have one. As a matter of fact, we're putting in the field today, and we had 200 children planting seeds, and they've already sprouted, and the kids are so excited to wait for the butterflies to come in and so they can watch the whole process of the butterfly development.
Are you familiar with that, Christina?
No, I'm not, but I'm thrilled to hear it.
We need to invite you to be a part of our partnership. I would love to. We have over 50 partners. Steve will be sure and get your name, and we will contact you, because the strength of this organization is the partners, from Kansas City Power and Light to Casey Moe and Johnson County Parks, Powell Gardens.
You've got
Bridging
all kinds
the Gap,
of partners. I can't believe the number
50,
of partners. Yeah.
Multi-sector, the Heartland Conservation Alliance, Missouri Department of Conservation.
How can Imani connect with you guys? Just tell her right now, because other people might want to connect too, Kathy.
Email kcnpi.now@gmail.com.
Okay.
kcnpi@gmail.com?
kcnpi.now@gmail.com.
We'll do it. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Imani. Good luck. Enjoy the kids, okay?
I will. Thanks, Steve.
You bet. Bye-bye. Let's go to Savannah from south of Lawrence. Savannah, you're on UpToDate.
Hi. I was curious if I've got kids and they want to play in the yard. I take them to parks and I love all of the, you know, native grasses and stuff. And, you know, we try to avoid pesticides and, you know, deep bug spray and stuff. But what about you know, the ticks that are climbing on those native grasses and the chiggers that are, you know, gotten rid of because of the, you know, mowing the lawn and they can't live in the taller grass and stuff like that. What would be a way to avoid ticks and chiggers on me and my kids?
Ticks and chiggers, oh my. What should we do about that, Mary?
Well, it's an interesting question. So I think I get this question a lot because when you change the habitat of your yard, you'll start to attract things that you didn't have in there before. And eventually your yard develops a balance. For instance, the predators on the ticks and chiggers move in. I don't really have a problem in my yard. I mean, sometimes I put bug spray on my child when we go outside if it's, you know, rained and there's a lot of mosquitoes around. But with native plants, you have wildlife. And along with that comes the wildlife that we love, like the butterflies and maybe some of the wildlife that we don't like. But that's an important part of the biodiversity in the ecosystem. And eventually things will kind of start to balance out.
You know, given climate change, given concerns about water, given concerns about pollution and fertilizers and all these things, is this where we're going, whether we want to be going there or not? Is this the future, in your view?
I think absolutely this is the future. We have fought nature. We've conquered nature for all these years. Now it's time to work with nature. It works for us 24/7, purifying the water without treatment plants. There is so much benefit and cost saving available just from working with nature instead of against it.
Mm-hmm. You know, give out the website again for the Kansas City Native Plant Initiative again, Kathy Gates, or Mary, one of you, yeah.
Well, so you can always email us at kcnpi.now@gmail.com. We will have a website up in mid-April. It'll be kcnpi.org.
Okay.
And you can also find us on Facebook as the Kansas City Native Plant Initiative.
Okay, well, important stuff. I'm really glad you guys came in. Mary Nemesek, Kathy Gates, Christina Hoxie. Again, the name of the organization is the Kansas City Native Plant Initiative. Thanks all for taking some time. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having us.